Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
Hello, my media masochists! Welcome back to the worst show on Earth's OVA spin-off, Anime Quarantine, in which we subject ourselves to animated shows from Japan like we promised we never would. I'm Matt Murphy, also known as Murphy-kun to my cool friends. But it takes two to duel, and with me here at Gravehouse is Alex Humphrey! Alex, I'm calling you Alex-chan now.
Matt, aren't you forgetting someone?
Oh, Alex, yeah. We have a third co-host, listeners, and it's Cricket-chan.
Cricket-chan, kawaii.
Cricket-chan, I had written a whole obituary for her because I thought she had finally died. But apparently she's back with a vengeance.
Back tonight. After a week, almost 2 weeks of absence, she came back to join us in Anime Quarantine.
Yeah, she's our mascot. And again, if you want to send cute fan arts, kawaii fan arts of Cricket-chan to us, please email it to worstshowonearth@gmail.com. It's time to draw your opening hand and then immediately declare a mulligan because our theme du jour is card battle shows. In case you're unfamiliar, these are shows that involve battling with collectible cards that you use to build a deck. And that's really all there is to it, folks. The rest is window dressing. These are made by corporations to try and get kids to bug their parents to buy booster packs.
I grew up playing Magic the Gathering, and I can tell you that if there was a Magic the Gathering anime, I would have bought all the booster packs.
Wow. See, that's fascinating, because we're going to ask you more about your Magic the Gathering skills in just a moment. But before we really get into our turns, into the draw phase or something, we have a new segment to debut on Anime Quarantine. It involves a confession from us. It's the Amnesia Report.
Oh, Amnesia. We couldn't leave it behind. It's been weeks, but it just keeps calling to us.
It's so outrageous. We watched a couple more episodes, and we're going to try and do this as quickly as possible, because guess what? Not a whole lot happens, but a whole lot of feelings happen. So the major plot twist is they all go on vacation.
Except maybe they didn't.
Heroine goes on to an island getaway that was paid for by the boss of the maid cafe. Then she has an accident and wakes up and Orion is missing. Who's going to think for her?
Well, she actually thinks for herself a bit. But she's always wrong because reality has begun to gaslight her. You got that right. Reality itself is changing on her, apparently, when she maybe dies. And now nothing she knows can be relied upon. I'm excited for the next episode.
I'm guessing that it's because in each of the worlds, she ends up being the girlfriend of one of the boys.
Almost certainly.
But then there's the mysterious checkerboard nightmare man.
Oh yeah, he showed up.
He showed up and I think he remembers all the parallel timelines.
That seemed to be implied by
his
dialogue.
And also is totally in love with heroin.
You know, our talk about multiple worlds actually transitions well.
It does. And that's the Amnesia Report, everyone. Thanks for coming. And yes, card fighting. So card fight shows have a long and storied history. There's been countless examples of them throughout time. I'm just shitting you. It's Yu-Gi-Oh. It's just Yu-Gi-Oh. All card battle shows are just trying to be Yu-Gi-Oh.
Matt, I don't think you're quite aware of just what a love affair anime has with cards.
Oh?
Cards are very prominent in anime and have been prominent in anime for decades.
Really?
Not just as card fights, but as like Cardcaptor Sakura.
Well, sure. Yeah, it's a tarot thing.
Like tarot things there. But it goes back further than that to, what was that show called? It's one where like, it's one from like the 80s where the characters are defeated and turned into cards.
Oh my God, that's our dishonorable mention.
Oh, yeah.
That's our dishonorable mention.
Shit, okay.
Dishonorable mentions are the shows that we refused to watch because we think they sounded so bad. And every episode so far of Anime Quarantine has had one, and we'll get to that.
But, like, there is at least one card battle anime every season of anime. And generally, they are spin-offs of existing ones, because these shows, kind of like Pokemon, are just meant to run
on. They mutate.
Yeah, they mutate. They rebrand. once a year as the next set of cards comes out for kids to become infatuated with.
Mm.
Like, how many series does Duel Masters have?
Oh, I don't want to spoil that just yet.
It astonished me.
I will tell you, though, the research portion of this episode almost drove me out of my mind and into my mother's basement. I could feel my bedroom sinking below the water table. Because
the research
involved, Alex, I don't think you understand. This is our longest show outline ever, and it has two appendices.
It has two appendices?
Yes, I needed to append more information in table format to properly explain the canon of the shows that we ingested tonight.
Okay, good, because Duel Masters, our first show.
Yes.
We only watched the first episode of it, and I have no more information about Duel Masters after the first episode than I did before the first episode.
But I had such a great time.
Oh no, it was amazing. It was the flashiest, boomiest, pewy-pyowiest show I've ever seen.
But you still complained about the lack of animation.
Oh no, it's also animated like Scooby-Doo.
I think it looked better than Scooby-Doo by a lot. It
did not look better than Scooby-Doo. everything was limited animation. Generally, like, at most, a mouth was flapping or a head was lifting. It was constantly regurgitating the same animation. Every time they played cards and the cards clashed against each other and threw into the air, that was the same animation. Every time the main character drew a card, every time the main character tapped a card, it was all the same animations.
All right, but we're getting ahead of ourselves, Alex. Let's paint some context for our listeners. Here's a summary that I have pieced together based on my master's thesis that will be submitted to the panel later this year. There is a kid named Shobu, but I call him Not Yugi a lot, who dreams of becoming a kaijudo master like his dad. And to do this, he has to play a collectible card game. The card game has 5 civilizations that you can tap into to make your deck. And those are fire, water, light, darkness, and nature. Also, the monsters and the cards come to life if you're really good.
Those are just the suits of Mana from Magic the Gathering. Water, fire, light, darkness, and nature are absolutely the mana wheel from Magic the Gathering.
Here's the thing. Take a look at this promotional material that I've appended to our outline, and you'll see that Hasbro had its sputting eye stalks already deeply embedded in the very beginning of the foundation of this show, where it's a promo for Magic : The Gathering.
No way.
Yes.
It's actually a promo for Magic the Gathering.
Yes, they had a promo for Magic the Gathering. Hasbro was involved in the publication of the game Duel Masters, and both of the shows we watched do have real games attached to them. And you can still buy them to this day, I think.
So I'm going to say this. I watched 22 minutes about this card game in anime format, and I had no idea, even the basest idea of how it was played.
Oh, no. This made absolutely no sense. I couldn't tell you a damn thing about this game.
So, like, dear listeners, here's what happens in the episode. Our main character,
Shobu, or Not Yugi.
Our main character, Not Yugi, is playing some card games. Then he has to go to a stadium to play card games, where he wins and beats everyone.
And when you say stadium, you don't mean, like, a park. You mean an actual honest-to-God sports stadium packed with thousands of people.
He beats everyone at card games.
Even the person who was cheating.
Then he meets mysterious world's greatest card game guy.
Mr. Knight.
Who has, like, long black hair, sunglasses, and a trench coat. Who challenges Shobu to play card games, but better than normal. So he goes to Mr. Knight's place.
No. The dueling center.
The dueling center.
Which is definitely not the abandoned house that he squats in.
Because it's just got like a table where he and Mr. Knight duel each other. And as far as I can tell, the way you duel in Duel Masters is you just have to believe harder than the other person.
No. Alex, that sounds a lot like copywritten intellectual property Yu-Gi-Oh! What you mean to say is that you need to really own the zone.
Own the zone. That's the term they use. This show loves terms, but doesn't love explaining them. So they just throw out these words. Most in English, some randomly in Japanese. Like, apparently, to be a really great master of...
A kaijudo master.
You become a senpai, which is just kind of like respected older brother in Japanese. It definitely doesn't mean that. And then, they're like, everyone kept saying ike. We watched the dub, by the way. Normally, we watch the subs of these because we want to experience the show in its rawest, original, terrible format.
But really, because these were meant for children, it adds a whole other metatextual layer that really, really makes your mind come to life with the how the fuck did this happen and how did they translate this? And they definitely didn't say those things.
Oh, yeah. Clear liberties were taken with the script. But I do believe the spirit of the script was intact. I'm just kind of in awe with this show because card fight anime... There's things you can expect of card fight anime.
Sure.
The main character is going to love card games, and then he's going to randomly stumble into, like, the dark underworld of card games and become special. Then he's going to fight the best person, and he's either going to win or nearly win. This happened in both our shows. It is how the first episode of a card game anime goes.
And Yu-Gi-Oh!
But what's most important is explaining rules. It's very important to card game anime that they constantly explain you the rules of a card game.
Really, Alex?
Absolutely.
So tell me, what is the first thing you do on your turn in Kaijudo Masters?
I think you believe really hard.
The belief phase is at the end, after your opponent has responded to your attack.
No. Mr. Knight explains that you can't just draw a card. You have to draw the cards better than normal.
Yes, that's right. Because So the reason that Mr. Knight is scouting, not Yugi, is that he sees that he does this thing where he makes his chi flame out of his hand. And uses it to literally judo chop the next card off his deck into his hand.
And as I'm to gather that this makes the card better. There's another name for this maneuver, though, and that's called cheating. If you play a game where you use your psychic chi powers to chop the top card of the deck, and you ruin random chance, you're no longer playing a game of chance, you're cheating at a card game.
You need to listen to Mr. Knight, because that's why he wanted Not Yugi to play at his level. He wants him to play the real game, which is about making small children hallucinate monsters.
Yeah, because if you believe hard enough in the card, the other person hallucinates the monster. The monster doesn't appear to actually show up. The other person just sees it, like, in the air. And let me tell you, these monsters are so freaking cool. There is a helicopter that is also a dinosaur. And I know you're like trying to spin up an image of helicopter also dinosaur in your head. You're never going to get as cool as this one is.
It is definitely from hell.
It's like,
it's metal as fuck.
It's like a T-Rex.
It's flying over a volcano. It's got a nose ring. It's in a cage that somehow like makes it free. What was this thing called?
It is called a Gatling Sky Terror.
What?
And it was just one of many absolutely dope, awesome action figures.
Here's the thing, though. I feel like you kind of blew your load on this one, because he's the coolest one.
All of them are so... There is an angel that is a disco ball.
Okay, the disco ball angel was something that I just couldn't believe that they put in. That's some pretty next level shit.
It's just so random. And that's what you get in these, especially these Japanese card games, is just these absolutely insane creature designs. They're so, so weird.
The lack of lines that they put into our protagonists are put to much better use in the polygons of the monsters. The monsters in both the shows we watched ended up being CG for a lot of the time.
Oh, of course. They're far too detailed for these shows to bother animating.
So it's very different, and I don't think they always jive very well with the rest of the regular animation.
In fairness, Duel Masters, the episode we watched aired in 2003. And for 2003, that CGI wasn't half bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. 2002.
Well, there you have it. That was a masterpiece for 2002. No, but as much as we seemed like we were shitting on Duel Masters, I kind of loved it.
I wanted to watch more, but you said we had to go to bed at a reasonable hour.
Listen, I just don't believe it was going anywhere from there. It was the most perfect nonsense I've ever watched. It was like watching curling for the first time.
Oh, man.
Without any commentators, it just, there's like four people out on the ice, then one of them slides a rock and the other start broom working, and everyone's trying really hard and you have no idea what they're trying to do.
That part I certainly relate to. However, we definitely had commentators. We have our not Yugi's bestest friends, Glasses Boy and the girl one.
But their commentary was useless. It wasn't informative. They were always just like, is he gonna lose? No, he's gonna win. No, he's losing. But he can believe harder, so he'll win. They explain nonsense. It's nonsense. It's like a dream.
Oh, it's a wonderful dream. Let's talk about some things that I did not like. The characters, I couldn't tell if they were 4 or 14.
Oh, they were all tiny children.
They were weird.
The main character had Godzilla hair.
No, he had Yu-Gi-Oh hair.
But without the two tones.
It was black and white. He did have two tones, but like, yeah, none of the wild stylings. Just the shape.
I feel like this segues perfectly into our next show.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow your draw. Because we gotta say a couple things about Duel Masters to really hammer home just what ridiculousness this is. Originally a manga published from 99 to 2005. Mm-hmm. And that's at least 3 years after Yu-Gi-Oh! It's still running in Japan today in some form.
How many series has it had?
Oh, Alex. It is an absurdly sprawling franchise. With over 700 episodes total.
Oh my god.
717 seasons, each with a different title. Please see Appendix A of our outline. Let me pull it out for you.
You have appendices?
I told you at the beginning we have appendices. There's going to be a test. The test will be a duel. Now, there are 17 seasons.
Oh my god. Dude. Mm-hmm. I need to read these titles aloud. Season 1 is Duel Masters.
Yeah.
Season 2 is Duel Masters Charge. Mm. Season 3 is Zero Duel Masters.
Zero Duel Masters.
Season 4 is Duel Masters Zero.
Zero Duel Masters Zero.
Yeah, there's Zero Duel Masters, then the next season is Duel Masters Zero.
What were they thinking? Look. We're adults. We have college degrees. We know most of the characters in the Silmarillion.
Wait, it gets better. Then there's Duel Masters Cross, Duel Masters Cross Shock, Duel Masters Victory, Duel Masters Victory 5. Oh, wait.
It's a V, Alex.
It's a V. It's not 5.
It did a double take.
It's Duel Masters Victory V, because the season after that is Duel Masters Victory V3. Where did V2 go? It's not on this list.
I don't know what to tell you. I really don't.
Then there's Duel Masters Versus, Duel Masters Versus Revolution, Duel Masters Versus Revolution Final, followed by Duel Masters again, then Duel Masters with an exclamation point, then Duel Masters with two exclamation points.
Oh, I can tell that there's two there.
Then Duel Masters King. And there's also a special in there called Shinseki Duel Masters Flash.
I think that one is like a chibi recap thing. But Alex, this doesn't even mention a whole season of the show that is not canon.
Excuse me?
That is correct. There is an American exclusive season called Duel Masters Sacred Lands, and it apparently takes place after the first season of the show, and they split off into another universe where not Yugi goes to the civilizations from the game, which are threatened by the powerful loyal order of princes, or Ploop. Please see Appendix B for the episode titles of Duel Masters Sacred Lands. Now, here's the thing. There's a level of self-awareness in these shows.
I actually have a different interpretation.
Oh?
I wonder if the first episode we watched bore any resemblance to the actual first episode of the show that aired in Japan. Because as you know, in many times, the American show is changed, they recycle animation, they change up characters' names, they change up dialogue. There are very famous examples like Samurai Pizza Cats.
Oh, yeah.
Where they literally redubbed the entire thing without the original script. I doubt that happened here. It seemed a little too card fighty and not self-aware enough.
I don't know. There were parts of the script, the translated script, that I thought were kind of clever. And I didn't hate the voice acting.
And then there was the weird, like, ikei things. Ikei, iko.
They kept repeating.
It means, like, commanding something to go or, like, let's go. But I don't understand why that was the only Japanese word they held around.
There were a couple other ones. There was senpai.
Yeah.
Like, because he's a senpai. But take a look at some of the titles for Duel Masters Sacred Lands. There is a level of self-awareness where they understand how ridiculous and commercialized the show is. And there are specific references to, like, weird Western shit in it. Like, the first episode is called Attaboy, George, talking about Boy George. There's one, Nature Calls, Parts 1 and 2. The Overlook Hotel, which is a reference to The Shining. Like,
this is the America only season.
This
though,
is
right?
The America only season.
That just means that the American season of it was made more tongue in cheek, likely because the people who localized it understood how absurd the show they were making was.
Well, that's just the thing. It wasn't localized. It was an American exclusive.
They knew how silly it was.
Yes. And I think they know the people who were doing the localization in the dub that we watched had a similar awareness. They know their job is to sell Duel Master card packs, but they also are like, we're getting paid to do something absolutely ludicrous. Let's have a good time with it.
Okay. The second show did a better job, I think, of marketing its cards to me, though.
Okay. The second show we watched is called Future Card Buddy Fight,
which is the best show name I've ever heard.
It's so much fun. So let's hear what Crunchyroll has to say about Future Card Buddy Fight. This is the summary they have for the series. It is the year 2030, and the stage is the capital of Japan, Chō-Tokyo. Through Buddy Fight, humans have started cultural interactions with residents from other worlds called Affinity Dimensions. Buddy Fight is a game with selected humans as the Buddy Fighter and residents from the other world as the partner, known as the Buddy Monster. These battles have high significance, and sometimes it is even used to decide the fate of a nation. And naturally, there are those who seek to use the Buddy Monsters for evil purposes.
I feel like that's misleadingly straightforward.
It really is.
So there are three worlds that we are introduced to in the first episode, kind of in a passing line by one of the side characters. Those worlds are Dragon World, Demon World, Danger World.
I thought it was Magic World.
No. Danger World had like the griffin that was also a tank.
Oh no, that was definitely Danger World. But I thought that hot purple demon was from Magic World.
Oh, was it Magic World?
I think it was Magic
World. I might have been mistaken.
Because he was the demon lord, Asmodee. And I wrote that down because I want to look a fan art of him later.
He looked pretty cool. Indeed, all the character designs in this show look great. Maybe the main character is too much.
So everyone in this show is kind of over-designed. Everyone's got like a real silhouette to them. You can tell who they are. Even the buddy monsters.
And
buddy monsters are just ridiculously detailed. For a while, our protagonist for the show, Drum. We learn his name is Drum later.
Yeah.
His father is the king of the Dragon Knights. And he's like, Dad, I'm going to be the best buddy monster or whatever.
He's basically like, Dad, I'm going to go out into the human world and become the best indentured fighting servant ever.
It's noble. It's noble to be a buddy. And so in Dragon World, he's got this headdress that is made of gold and has horn exhaust pipes.
Yeah, he's like a dragon crossed with a knight, crossed with like a motorcycle. It's so cool.
Oh my God.
His weapon is
a steampunk masterpiece.
It's like a giant drill, but it has three drill heads all that meet at a point, and the back end is like the unholy marriage between a pipe organ, a bagpipe, and a motorcycle.
A real Harley Davidson chopper. It's so massive, and like when it revs up, there's fire spewing out of every hole, and like there's
my inner child was freaking out.
I was having such a great time. He was the coolest guy ever. I loved Drum.
And then we're introduced to our actual main character.
Who is a superhero seventh grader cop.
Oh, yeah, that guy. I forgot. Yeah, because he's like, we're introduced to this character. We're expecting, like, it's school shenanigans. And he's driving, like, a cop car. And
he's too young to drive.
And he's got, like, a red vest and cow print shoulder pads and blue hair.
Listen. I thought it was cow print as well, but they're cool pauldron designs.
It looks like cow to me. I'm going to call it cow.
Okay, I can't fault you for that.
He also has super roller skates that let him fly.
Oh my
and
God.
A buddy who is a dragon with a sword on its head.
And his name is Jack.
He's got like a switchblade sword mohawk on the top of his head.
We freaked out when we saw them. We literally were like, this is the coolest thing we have ever seen. Life will never get better than this dragon with a sword on its head.
It's just like you're in third grade and you try to think of the two coolest things you can. You're like, dragons and swords. And so you draw a dragon and a sword and you don't know where to put its arms, so you just put the sword in its head. And it's the coolest thing you've ever imagined.
We learn later that he's not named Jack, but Jackknife Dragon. And like, it's just cool that he calls him Jack. Like, I just love it. But he wasn't even my favorite dragon.
Which one was that?
My favorite dragon was Thousand Rapier Dragon.
Oh, right.
Who was a velociraptor crossed with the Scarlet Pimpernel.
But that's episode two and we're getting ahead of ourselves.
A little bit, but like, we don't have...
even introduced our audience to the main character of the show.
The actual protagonist of the show.
Because blue-haired cop kid, who is still in elementary school, I might add, like, beats a robber at a card fight. Questions were raised, but they didn't really...
Beat him, Alex. He obliterated his battle soul. He summoned a sword, a flaming chainsaw sword the size of fucking Tokyo Tower, and brought it down on his pathetic loser head. When he goes to jail, they're going to make fun of him forever.
Our actual main character.
Gao. His name is Gao.
Is a sixth grader, so he's a year younger, so he's a lot of catching up to do. With the most obnoxious hairstyle I've ever seen.
I hated Gao. Gao is the only thing about either of these shows, really, that I genuinely found grating. He is so over-designed. He is the bastard spawn of Yugi from Yu-Gi-Oh! And Jotaro Kujo from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
He does have the JoJo, like, Jotaro has, like, a cap that just kind of phases into his hair, and there's no delineation between where hair starts and cap stops.
It's a hilarious, like, thing that makes you just think about it. It doesn't make any sense, but it's cool. And it's great.
Cool and it's hand-drawn, but it's just one thing too many on the character.
Because Gao not only has the Yugi hair, which is just obnoxious, like blue and purple and red.
He's got bandages on his arms.
He has a sun motif as well. He calls himself the Sun Fighter, where he's the champion of the downtrodden. Like, he does an epic poem when he gets into battle mode and stuff like that.
And he is the champ. Like, he saves a kid who's being mugged in an alley. Yeah. In an alley. Because there's like three older kids being like, we hear you have a rare card. Give it to us. Which raised some questions. Because if the cards connect to a being from another dimension, who's their buddy? Isn't this kidnapping?
Well, Alex, the cards are just portals to the buddies.
But then what would be the point of having the card if you don't get the buddy with it?
Well, you gotta build a deck.
Also, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll save the questions I have until after we've explained the show.
Mm-hmm.
So Gao is the most obnoxious main character. He beats up a bunch of thugs, so he saves the day.
With judo.
And then, like, in class the next day, this is the worst origin story, by the way. In class the next day, the teacher decides today's writing prompt is everyone opens a booster pack. And Gao's never played the card game before, and everyone's making fun of the fact that he can't possibly draw a good card because he isn't good enough at random chance. Like, literally, they're like, you're not good enough at drawing cards from a random booster pack. If you don't know what a booster pack is, audience, it's a foil-wrapped pack of 15 cards.
Yeah, that's really it.
Randomly from a set. Generally speaking, in Magic the Gathering and in most other games, there's like 10 common cards. They're fairly easy to come across. 4 uncommon cards, so cards that aren't as easy to come across. 1 rare card. So the fact that there's a classroom being like, you'll never draw a rare card. It's like, there's one in every pack, of course. Everyone in this room is going to draw a rare card.
Isn't the rare card itself subject to subcategories of rarity? Sometimes even more so?
You're right. And in this case, they were like, you will never draw a super rare card. So he draws a super rare card, and it comes to life.
It flies up, and that's when Drum shows up in the human world. Is like, hey, guess what? We're friends now!
Except, no, he isn't like that. Because Gao's like, yay, you're my friend now. And Drum's like, no, I'm not.
But Alex, he had been spying on him.
Through a crystal ball, yes. Because his father told him to go find someone. And he only scouted this one kid. And it was mildly homoerotic.
Look, he definitely has a crush on Gao. Yes. The giant 12-foot dragon boy definitely has a crush on this sixth grader.
There's so much more set dressing to the world that we're not mentioning, though. There's the buddy fight office.
Okay, yes. So blue hair boy works for the buddy fight office. Or the buddy card office.
The buddy card office.
And that deals... It's a governmental organization that apparently makes sure that anyone who gets a buddy monster is, like, properly trained to be a cop. Maybe.
No, that's absolutely not what they were.
No?
They explain their function. If you get a buddy monster, they give you a deck box from which you can build a deck, and you may now fight anyone you want.
But Alex, what about the bad guys who also have buddy monsters?
Maybe that is the case, but it was not explained in episode 1 or episode 2. This show had similar believe-in-yourself rules, but with the set dressing of random chance.
Here's the thing, though. I actually kind of understand how to play Buddy Fight.
Yeah, no. Buddy Fight does a good job in its first 2 episodes of explaining how to play the game.
Yeah,
Duel Masters does not. And frankly, I kind of preferred Duel Masters as a result.
Because it was randomer. You had less predictability, or more predictability, I suppose.
Here's the failing of card fight anime.
Uh-huh.
The fun of card games is, to a degree, the random chance of them. The not knowing what your opponent has in their hand, the who knows what's going to come up next. Especially if you're an audience member to a card game. It would be like watching a poker game, but with a rigged deck and you already know the outcome.
That's called a script, yes. As adults, we understand.
Right.
This is all predetermined.
And this is true of any show.
That's called the suspension of disbelief. Yes. Right.
But it becomes... It's thrown into stark relief when you have a show where the main core mechanic of drama is supposed to be random chance.
Yes.
Like, will he draw the card that makes him win? Of course he'll draw the card that makes him win.
Now, Alex, as someone who plays Magic: The Gathering.
Yes.
You have told me in the past that you want to reduce random chance as much as possible. Isn't that just the key to building a good deck?
Yes, Matt. Very good.
Now remember, you can only have 4 copies of a card in your deck, and a deck has to be at least 50 cards big.
Here's the problem. On paper, I am willing to accept that Future Card Buddy Fight is the better show for kids.
I thought it was actually well animated at times, yeah.
It looked good, the first episode at least. The character designs were interesting, the plot was well explained, the game was well explained. The world, however, as an adult, the world breaks my poor mind. So let me attempt to parse this world out.
Mm.
In the world of Future Card Buddy Fight, buddies from other dimensions,
right,
go forth to hook up with humans.
Whoa. Become buddies.
Become buddies with humans.
Whew.
They do so via random draw from booster pack.
I think maybe it's implied that, like, they choose to be in the kids' booster pack or something.
Okay, I'll buy that. They then become buddies and are manifest physically in the world and can talk to them.
Yes, and anyone.
You then get 49 more cards, all of which can also manifest and talk. So what makes the buddies special? Because when they get into the fight in episode 2, all the cards have personalities. When they play cards, they manifest. They become like a huge sword or a Scarlet Pimpernel Velociraptor.
I loved him.
Or whatever the guys, like, it was just like a T-Rex with a battering ram. Why do some buddies have to buddy pair, but then all the other cards also come to life? And they're clearly sentient because they can talk. But why don't they exist independently in reality? And when did they buddy up with our main character? And could he have buddied with them before that? Or did he require the buddy card already?
Okay, take your
and how does a world work in which characters have this? And the buddies don't even fight. They just have a potential to be drawn from the deck in which they're going to fight. No. You see, this is it. Duel Masters was pure nonsense. But as a result, it was somehow less confusing. Because by failing to explain everything, they also didn't introduce strange logical paradoxes and moral conundrums.
You see, I thought it was the Colosseum, because they go to the school's Colosseum.
And have a card fight.
Have a card fight there.
This is Gao and the blue-haired cop boy.
And I thought while I was watching it that this was all a hologram, because they're showing all these things. But you're right. The more I think about it, the less sense it makes. Because, like, their cards are coming out of their deck belts. And then, like, they draw. And, like, their magic is real magic.
This show was swimming in cool catchphrases. What were they? Like, when they draw their deck, their cards are luminized. They have core gadgets, which are, like, each deck has its own cool gadget form.
Yeah.
This deck, as a kid's show, my inner child would have eaten this show up. I would have watched this every morning. I would have been down there at 7 a.m. to catch the next episode of this crazy show.
Oh, some other fun ones. Buddy skill on! Accept my buddy fight challenge! Like, these are very formal things that you need to do to start a buddy fight. And apparently every buddy fight starts with raise the flag!
I think it's fair to say Future Card Buddy Fight is not worst show material. It's not even worst card show material.
Literally, I don't think either of these shows are worst show material. Such a fun time.
Here's the thing.
Okay, Duel Masters is garbage.
Duel Masters failed on every level as a card show. It didn't explain the rules. Its characters didn't have coherent motivations. It barely built a world in episode 1. even the card fights in episode one are just non-fights. They literally just look at each other and say words, and then there are flashes, and then someone goes, wah, there are shields, which go down unless they don't go down, and they go up for some reason.
Hold yo horses. I dispute your lack of motivation comment. We know what everyone's motivation is in that show. We learn, everyone, Mr. Knight is scouting for the mysterious man for excellent dual kaijudo masters. Not Yugi is desperate to never lose a match. And we think at first it's because he loves his dad a lot. He made a promise to his dad. But we learn later that it was because he made a deal with his mom that he could do nothing but train in dual mastery and not have to do chores as long as he always won. And so he has to do all the chores when he gets home.
That's cute. And again, it's also but it might be the worst card battle show. Like, as a kid's show, it's fine. But as a card battle anime, it is just so embarrassingly awful.
It made no attempts to explain to us what this game is.
Which, strangely enough, actually made it more accessible for us as adults. Because, as we discovered in Future Card Buddy Fight, the worst part about card battle anime is the card battles, because they're just boring.
There's a lot of standing, a lot of shouting, a lot of going, raw, or right.
And a lot of explaining rules. When you cut out all the explaining of rules and just have weird dinosaur helicopter hybrids and disco angels, the show gets a lot better.
Oh boy, that was great. So here are some fun facts about Future Card Buddy Fight.
Mm-hmm.
So it began airing in 2014. Had 6 series with forgettable names, and it all wrapped up 2019. All told, the franchise has over 260 eps.
260?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? A unique aspect of this show is that it actually started simulcasting on YouTube really quickly.
Fascinating.
And like later episodes are only available on YouTube for the English reading audience. And here's the thing that drove me crazy about this show, is I couldn't find very much in the way of factoids. So I looked up the company that owns it, and it's called Bushiroad, and it owns several franchise card fight shows. One of them is Card Fight Vanguard, and the characters from that franchise actually make a cameo in Buddy Fight later on. In episode 4. Crazy, right?
In episode 4?
I know, right?
That is kind of crazy. Yeah. That's awfully, awfully soon to have a multi-show crossover.
Yes. Vice Force, which is some sort of licensed anime character free-for-all. It's sort of like Smash Brothers, but with cards and also just anime. Mm. So like Persona can fight Madoka Magica.
Interesting. I've never heard of it.
It's very strange. And here is the thing that threw me for a loop. It owns both New Japan World Wrestling and World Wonder Ring Stardom, which is a lady wrestling.
Interesting, interesting.
And for those of you who don't
know, it's an entertainment company.
Yeah, it's like a WWE style, high flying, crazy stunts wrestling league, both of them. And then a shit ton of licensed anime video games. So I guess it's just like a big entertainment conglomerate. That rabbit hole goes deep because you can still buy Buddy Fight packs. So before we move on, between the two of them, we know which show is worse. Which game is worse?
I have no idea. I would need to know even one of the rules of Duel Masters.
You own the zone. That's the rule.
That's not a rule. It has psychic powers. Because I have to assume Duel Masters in real life is not actually played by believing really hard that you're going to draw your best card.
Would you voluntarily play either of these games?
I would. I don't know if I'd want to spoil myself for Duel Masters. I feel like anything I know about Duel Masters would detract from my enjoyment of the pure nonsense that was that episode of Duel Masters. Mm.
Honestly, I watched half of a tutorial video for Buddy Fight. I kind of know how to play. It's not bad.
Buddy Fight just seemed really simple. You've got your stage, and then you've got like a place to the front and a place to the left and to the right. And you're immune so long as you have a monster in front of you. And the ones to the left and the right, I guess, do stuff. boom, done, game go.
Yeah.
You have 10 hit points, you gotta get rid of all the enemies, 10 hit points.
Yeah, something like that. There's lots of trivialities, though, that we found. Lots of corollaries.
But that's what makes a card game a card game.
True.
So I'm afraid to ask.
Hmm.
Because I've had such a good time tonight, and that's so abnormal. Do we have a dishonorable mention?
Alex, it is time for the dishonorable mention.
Is it etchy?
I don't think so.
Oh, thank God. Okay, go on.
That was a splendid relief about this tonight's selections. They were pure as the driven snow.
Oh yeah, not a single moment of fan service. Not even a nod toward the concept of fan service.
It was so refreshing.
Pure prepubescent enthusiasm.
Now, I will say about this show, a bit of a disclaimer. It might not actually be a card battle anime, though it does have both cards and battles.
I think that counts. That counts under the corollary that Japan really loves card battles and wants them in every possible form.
Yes. So the show, the dishonorable mention, is called Shinzo. Or maybe it's Mushrambo?
Excuse me?
I guess when it was localized to the States, they called it Shinzo.
The original Japanese name is Mushrambo.
Yes, it is Mushrambo.
And they localized it to sound more Japanese.
You gotta get that exotic draw.
Okay, maybe it's the name of the main character or something.
So yes, it is the name of one of the main characters. But Alex, this is going to be my doctoral thesis. Because this show is so complicated. It took me forever to boil it down to just the bare bones of what it is. Are you ready?
I'm braced.
Okay. Ahem. Lanancurus.
Lanancurus?
Lanancurus.
I wasn't braced.
Hungers for power and starts absorbing planets. He might be God? I'm not sure. But his fellow celestial guardians try to stop him. But he's eaten too many planets and he's too strong and they can't beat him. So the Celestial Guardians decide to combine all their powers into a new entity named Mushra, whose core is a playing card. And I'm guessing core means soul? So his soul is a playing card. The playing card is used to seal Lanancurus inside of a meteorite that is made of the remains of the planets he ate. Kind of cool. Meanwhile, something that Lanancurus did on Earth creates a virus in the 22nd century. It attacks human DNA, and so to save themselves, humans splice together human DNA and animal DNA to make beast people. And they call this race the Enterans, even though it includes bug people and dog people and, like, dragon people.
All of this sounds amazing thus far.
I don't even know what episode we're in at this point. Like, is this way back in the day? Is this revealed later? I don't know. It's just the backstory. Humans then find a cure anyway and survive. But then the Enterans decide to go on a genocidal spree and kill all the humans.
Okay, wow.
They decide to do it anyway. So a doctor shoves his 4-year-old daughter into a stasis chamber in the hopes that she will one day revive and find the human sanctuary, Shinzo. It's the title of the show, so you know it's important. Anyway, girl wakes up hundreds of years later and is the last human and also is now 17. She meets 4 good Enterans who are secretly hyper Enterans, which means they have secret battle modes.
Oh, okay, so they can transform. Is this Saint Seiya?
No. It is Journey to the West.
Oh, interesting.
So Mushra ends up being the Son Goku Monkey King character because he's the most powerful of the Enterans, but he's also an obnoxious jerk kid.
Wait, I thought he predated the Enterans, though.
His soul did, maybe.
Oh, his soul card.
Maybe.
Is this where the cards come in?
Yes. So, like, when the gang of them defeats bad guys, the bad guys turn into N cards and they can, like, equip them to power up or something like that. And there's 2 seasons of this show. And in season two, they end up going back in time and restarting the timeline so that the human and Terran war never happened.
Okay, I don't see how this is a dishonorable mention. This show sounds considerably better than either of the shows we watched.
I don't understand. Like, I can't find it anywhere. I tried looking. I was like, I have to see the intro to this
show. How old is it?
It aired in the early 2000s, if I recall correctly.
It aired in the early 2000s?
Yes. In the States. It's honestly so outlandish. I just want to see it to see what tone it had, because it seemed all over the place. The clips that I saw seemed pretty happy-go-lucky, but that doesn't indicate anything in terms of the show.
Yeah, it's from 2000.
So it's older, and it aired in the States. But yeah, I don't think there's any merchandising aspect of it either. There's no end cards game, as far as I can tell.
So it's not really a card battle anime.
I guess
it's
not.
It's just an anime with cards in it. A key distinction. I think if I've learned anything from tonight, it's that the first episode of Card Battle Animes is incredibly dope, and every subsequent episode is boring.
You're making an assumption, m'lady. We did not see Duel Masters episode 2.
You're assuming I haven't watched other Card Battle anime before.
But were they as delightfully self-aware and ridiculous as Duel Masters?
Again, I challenge the self-aware claim. That was the dub.
The only way we could find out is if we watch more, Alex.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to spoil Duel Masters with the possibility that they'll explain anything to me.
I can't believe you actually don't want to play it. That's terrible. Well, that ends our turn here for this edition of the Worst Show on Earth, Anime Quarantine Edition. If you have any fond memories of the shows we discussed, want to suggest a show or theme for us, or want to correct some inevitable inaccuracy that I said, you can email us at worstshowonearth@gmail.com.
If you want more of us, you can find us many Sundays on our Twitch stream, Scion the Demi Dozen, a tabletop role-playing game called Scion Second Edition. We play the children of the gods, dicking about in the modern age, having fun adventures. You can find us there, twitch.tv/scabbyrooster.
Listen to me be an even bigger weeaboo as I play a scion of the Japanese pantheon who says haiku and transforms into mythical animal mechs.
It's a good time. You should check us out.
I wanted to tease the next and maybe final installment of Anime Quarantine. It's an all dishonorable mention episode as we spotlight the Ed Wood of anime, a fellow named Yoshiteru Satou. He directed two absolute turkeys of films that are available all on YouTube for some reason. Mars of Destruction.
Oh, I've seen some of that. It is... our show deserves it.
Glad to hear it. And also, Tenku Danzato, Skelter Plus Heaven.
That is an anime title if ever I've heard it.
Yeah, and for the first time ever, because we have our shit together, finally, you can watch it and join the discussion with us next time we release Anime Quarantine. These shows are legendarily bad, and we look forward to having our brains melted by them very soon. And until next time, enjoy what you watch, no matter how crappy it is. That ends my turn.
I summon Cricket-chan from the Buddy Zone.
Cricket-chan's way overpowered. How will I be able to counter her sonic assault?
Cricket-chan, play obnoxious. This is where you go, blah!